Oh my goodness, we're going to do a show without Danil.
Danil is not with us today, people.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. We are Danil-less.
Which is different.
Yeah, how do we feel about it thus far?
Thus far? Hi, Joelle.
Hi, Joelle.
Joelle got a mask on. Some of y'all don't notice. None of you know this, actually, because you can't see us. Joelle has a mask on because something's up with her internet.
Yeah, and she also has a furrowed brow. She has a very stressed, furrowed brow face today, Joelle.
When I logged into the Zoom, Joelle looked at me and said, "Ugh, what a day."
Yeah, Joelle's having a moment, and it seems to me, Joelle, correct me if I'm wrong, it stems from having internet problems that are stressing you out.
Sorry, Danil not being here is very stressful because I have to record.
You're doing a great job so far.
Thank you. I really appreciate that vote of confidence.
Danil, give her some affirmation. Joelle, you're killing it so far.
Joelle, you're crushing it. Everybody's talking about it. Zach's talking about it. Zach's talking about how you're doing.
Yeah, you're doing great. You know, we just had should we tell them the very exciting meeting we just had? Should we talk about it?
Yeah, sure. Let's get it out there.
We're talking about some exciting stuff about bringing a live version of the show to your phone, to your laptop, to your
home.
Apple TV, to your home. Because we can't tour, we thought, well, why don't we virtually tour? And we'll do a live show with video. And you can see Danil in his closet. You can see me in my office.
You can also interact with all of us, too. You can interact with Joelle. You can interact with Danil.
Yeah, it's like you can write comments. We can do like quizzes. We can do we want you to tell us what you want us to do. So tell us. We're trying to put the plan together. Like, what would you guys want from a live show experience? Because we want to cater it to what.
Can I throw in a suggestion?
Yes,
absolutely,
Joelle.
Okay, so they sent me one of these to watch to see like what is it like behind the scenes and what a producer did and everything, and it's really effing cool to like watch the fans get to interact directly and like I know a lot of you guys talk about how you talk to us while you're doing it. Like while you're listening to the pod, and that's kind of fun. But like now you're actually talking to us and creating this conversation. So the one I watched, they did a drinking game with their fans.
Oh God,
I didn't know about that. Was a lot of fun. You know,
I'm getting heartburn already just thinking about it. I'm getting heartburn already.
I don't know
already.
That I want to speak for an hour and a half with a buzz. I'll probably embarrass myself.
I'll say some really bad things.
But you we know can what? Give the drinking game to the fans. We don't have to be doing the drink.
We don't have to drink.
I love that.
The fans might get mad at us, though. Like, wait, hold up. Y'all think y'all too good to do? Like, when somebody buys you a drink, and you're like, oh, no, I'm not drinking. No, thank you. You ever notice how the person kind of gets upset? Like, wait, hold on. I just bought you a drink.
Drink it.
You could be like, I don't drink booze.
I don't think
no,
you
I don't
and
give
I,
a shit. You drink that shit.
I don't think you and I should be drinking during the podcast. I think that's only going to lead to a less articulate version of the show.
I'm absolutely positive if we drink during the podcast, there will be some clickbait and buzzworthy news the next day.
Because we can't edit it. We'll be doing, you know, we occasionally, as you know from listening, cut out stuff where I'm like, no, you can't say that. Or Danil says that to me. Or we just go, I don't like the way that sounds. Now, the live show, you'll be getting us raw, uncut. Just like Danil, uncut.
Yeah, raw and uncut, just like me. That's what my wife, that's how my wife be getting it, raw and uncut.
You guys are going to get it just like Casey Cobb gets it, raw and uncut and girthy. But tell me and Danil and Joelle on our social media what you want to hear. Like what would make you join?
Oh man.
Right?
I think we sold it already. It's already raw and uncut. So let's go.
But I just want they can hit us up on our socials.
Joelle, hit us up.
Hit us up. I'm on my Twitter break. Yes, so hit me up on Instagram and let me know. Let Danil know. Let Joelle know. Let Danil know. What would you want from a live show? Like, what would be cool? And we'll do it.
Yeah.
Think about the caller that gets to come on that live show. That's going to be – Joelle, you'll have to really get a good one.
Maybe we take more than one caller.
Yeah,
maybe we have a special guest. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe this is what, you know, maybe.
I don't know that more, if you do an hour and a half, 2 hour show, I think one caller is plenty of time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a special guest, like related to the show, like one of the actors, or that would be different. Like if you have Scott Foley or somebody come on, but the caller thing, I think one is good, but I don't know. We can debate that.
We'll see. Let's see what the fans think. We yeah. want you guys to feel like this is your show.
Yeah. You okay? design so, it. You design it. So you tell us what you want. Joelle, yeah. what else was good with the pilot example they showed you that people did?
Yeah. What I really liked was the girls were unfiltered. I apologize for hearing my puppy yelping in the background.
You never have to apologize for a puppy, Joelle.
So the girls were like very unfiltered and like canon. Oh my gosh, the best part was the fans threw an after party. So when it was done and the girls hopped off, all the fans went to a new Zoom call to continue and meet up and connect. And I was like, wow. What a great opportunity for like community building and connecting. And they were all pretty buzzed. The chat
That's
was any indication.
Really
I wonder That's how many people idea. Would join. Like if we do this, right? And you do it globally, like everyone's invited. Now, obviously, if we do it here in North America, we'll be doing it probably 6 in LA, 9 on the East Coast. So mm-hmm. some people who are asleep, if they don't choose to stay up, I don't know why you wouldn't, but they'll be able to watch it like delayed in the morning, right? The next day.
Yes. I believe yeah.
But I wonder how many people would actually watch it live. It would be fascinating to think about how many people would be there.
I want
to
break records.
Oh, shoot.
We don't want to set our
– What's the car too high?
We don't want to set our bar too high in our heads. But I mean,
told you I wanted to play this. What's the in London? What's the name of that spot?
You're gonna have to be more specific.
The big stadium. Remember, we said we were gonna play it.
The O2.
The O2 stadium.
Yeah.
I told you we was gonna play O2, man. Let's play. Let's go for O2. Let's go for that O2.
I don't know. I mean, my guess is it would be like maybe 5,000 people. Joelle, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
You know, how many?
For our first one, maybe.
That's my guess.
Five people?
5,000, not 5 people. I think that 5,000 is the number that comes to my head that's realistic. I don't know.
That seems a little safe to me, but I think we can do at least 5. I'll say that.
All right. Well, we'll aim for 5,000 of you to tune in, and we're gonna have to do things that are special though, Donald. Mm. But I don't want to change our venue. Like, I think the fans are gonna want to see you in your closet with your wife's clothes behind you, me in my office, Joelle with her adorable puppy yapping. We don't want to change anything.
They're gonna want to see Dano by his workbench.
Well, they'll notice that Daniel is in 4K, whereas we're not, because Daniel has his fancy webcam.
Right.
Although maybe we should get fancy webcams.
We should step it up a notch. We should step it up
Joelle,
a notch.
Joelle, don't you think if we're going to broadcast this to the earth, we might want to do it better than our
Let's
just our
Let's do what
our
we can
computer.
Do about that.
Yeah. I mean, I already have the rig, Donald, but we could just get you one.
I'm going to put on a suit.
Yes. A suit? Maybe we could watch you. We could watch you get dressed in your own closet.
No.
Will you show areola?
I gotta show him something, right?
We should do incentives. Like if 6,000 people join, you will see melted Hershey's Kisses.
Oh,
yeah.
You want to turn this into an OnlyFans?
Yeah, it's OnlyFans kind of thing.
OnlyFans,
but no, Joelle, not like bad OnlyFans. Like waist up OnlyFans.
No. I'll show. We could play. Nah, we can't play Shafter
for
Balls.
If 10,000 people tune in.
We could play Shafter Balls?
No, we're not going to play Shafter Balls.
Okay, I'm just asking.
You will show Hershey's Kisses nipples.
If 10,000 people tune in, I will show Hershey's Kisses nipples? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Are you asking me or are you telling me?
Well, I'm just saying, we're saying here, like, let's see what the people want. And I can't help but answer, what would I want? Should we talk about your friend on Mandalorian getting the axe?
What? First of all,
what?
How dare you?
What?
I don't know this woman that.
Well, I'm just saying it's your favorite show in the world.
It
You're
is my favorite
Star
show
Wars
in the
geeks.
World.
It's a very current event.
That and WandaVision got me on lock right now. I'm going to keep you on it. WandaVision
came right on time. I haven't seen the new WandaVision, but I am caught up other than the most current episode. It's really good.
It's such a good show.
It's really, really well made, and it's such a clever concept. And I don't know anything about these two characters. They're a couple in the Marvel Universe outside of the show?
Yeah, they're also two of the more powerful Avengers too. So it's like, that's what's really cool about it is that they have two of the most powerful characters in the Avengers pretty much living simple lives. That's so cool, dude, when you really think about it. Like trying to live a simple life.
And she's a witch?
Yeah.
She's more than that. She's
like a mutant slash witch.
Well, she in the comics, she's a mutant. Her and her brother are both at the Charles Xavier School and everything like that. But anyway.
Well, it's very well done. And I don't know. Do you not want to talk about what's her name?
No, we could talk about it.
Goodbye, Gina Carano. Never come back. So long. We don't like you. You were an awful person. Woo! I'm glad she's gone.
I have to say, you know, the only thing I'll say about it, I'm not on Twitter, so I didn't see right now, so I didn't see any of the controversy, but I read about it.
Yeah, I read it.
And I just think for the most part, a good rule is to not use Nazis and Jews in any analogies. If I can give you one steadfast social media rule, stay away from the Holocaust as a means of making a political point.
I agree with you 100%.
Simple, steadfast.
That's like tried that, and, that true. And that's like don't go blackface on Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Don't go blackface on Halloween and don't say just like the Jews in the Holocaust. People don't really like that. And the other thing I'll say is the people that get all mad about Disney canceling her is that, you know, you can say whatever you want on Earth. You can't say whatever you want and be a Disney employee.
Well, you can't say whatever you want at your job. That's bullcrap. Mm-hmm. That's bullcrap. You can't say whatever you want. Listen, I know this firsthand. I'm going to tell, and I think everybody will learn this lesson eventually. Your opinions are your opinions, yes. But in the workspace, your opinions will affect other people.
Mm-hmm.
And your opinion, if it affects people the wrong way, will get you fired. That's just how it goes.
Yeah. And, you know, listen, you can have whatever opinion you want. And yes, you have free speech as a human being. But your employer can say, I don't fucking like you making a Holocaust analogy. Look at that puppy. Oh, my goodness.
So cute.
Look at those puppy kisses you're getting.
Aww,
so cute.
He's so cute.
Anyway, so, you know, also social media, you know, be careful what you say. There's a book I read called So You've Been Publicly Shamed, and I recommend it. It's really interesting, and it's all about these people who, you know, they did one stupid tweet or one stupid thing. You know, we all fucking do shit we regret. Of course, it's part of being human. And the story chronicles how people's lives were totally dismantled and changed and affected by the one fucking thing they did in a split second. And it often focuses on social media, this book.
Well, that's where we all wind up getting in trouble, I find is on social media.
Yeah, you don't, though. You're not on Twitter really anymore, and you're pretty conservative in terms of, you know, outlandish on your shit.
I've posted things a couple of times and have taken it down because of the way fans interacted in the comment section. Like, the last thing I want to ever do, first of all, if I feel something is right, I'm going to speak my mind. That's just how it is. Social media, I'm going to do that. But the last thing I want is to cause divisiveness and cause, a fight. And so when I see things on social media and people are going at each other, like with the hatred and saying the evil things to each other, I tend to be like, all right, maybe this wasn't the post that, this wasn't what I meant to.
Right.
I didn't mean for that when I posted this. So I might take that down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If it's thought, but I definitely want to post things that are thought provoking. like me swinging a golf club.
No, you're pretty tame. I, you know, I got very into politics on Twitter. I get really riled up by it. But, you know, I don't know, for better or for worse, I felt like speaking my mind. Should we count in, Don? We haven't even counted in yet.
5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story.
Welcome, everybody. Episode.
Dude, I thought this was your episode. I got so nervous.
Episode 406.
This is where this was a very interesting episode because John Ritter was supposed to come back for this episode.
That's right, everybody. This is the episode that John Ritter was supposed to come on. We it aired October 12th, 2004. Scrubs Wiki doesn't say when it was shot, but you can know when it was shot because it John Ritter died the weekend before he was supposed to come back. And the writers had to scramble to rewrite the episode for Tom Cavanaugh. Right, Donald?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. What were you? This is a
By the way, I just want you to know that I have goosebumps all over my body right now. Just to tell you how I still have a visceral reaction to John Ritter's death. It was so upsetting and so shocking. And we were so thrilled because, you know, Donald and I grew up on Three's Company. We grew up loving this guy. And so did Bill and so did a lot of the writers. And he came on our show to play my dad. And it was so thrilling. And I was just so starstruck by him. And then he fucking died out of the blue. With something that couldn't even, it's like a Scrubs episode, something you couldn't even scan for.
Yeah. I remember being like, how are they going to pull this off? You know what I mean? And then I remember thinking about his kids, you know what I mean? And the people that were working with him at the time. Like, it was just so sudden. And I feel like we honored him well, you know, in this episode. It really does show. I mean, this is one of those episodes where after watching it, I was a little depressed after the episode, maybe because of the content and what was going on. It didn't feel, you know, getting over loss is very difficult. And you're lucky if you have your friends around you to support you and stuff. And at the end of this, you know, JD has his brother and Cox. But for some reason, I don't know why, it just didn't feel – that didn't feel – and, you know, Cox having to give Dan the speech to get his act together so he could be there for his brother and everything like that. And then at the end, them watching TV with Red Wing shirts on and – drinking beer, and finally JD gets the opportunity to talk and, you know, remember his father. I felt like at that moment it needed to be more than that. It just, you know, I felt like the song is I Can't Do This All on My Own. At that point, it felt like JD needed to be surrounded by just more than just Cox and
his
brother.
Are you tiptoeing around the fact that you think that Turk should have been there?
I think Turk should have been there, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I wonder why Turk wasn't there. I mean,
I don't know. I think because he has diabetes. I don't know.
Diabetes prevented him from being in the
room. I don't know.
Sorry, like, this is a no diabetes people grief room.
You cannot come in. You have diabetes.
Are you grieving? Yes. Diabetes? Sorry.
No. Not allowed.
I got to tell you a little story. Bill and I went to John Ritter's memorial service. They had I believe they had a private funeral for the immediate family. And then because there were so many, John was very beloved in this community. I mean, people just love him. And so they had to fill a giant theater for the memorial. And Bill and I went, and it was in a huge space. And Billy Bob Thornton spoke because he was very close with John, and they had done Sling Blade together. I don't know if you remember Billy Bob's first movie, of course, was Sling Blade, and then John Ritter was in it, and he was playing so against type and so different, and it was like, it was a really cool moment for him, I'm sure, in his career, because people were like, holy shit, look at John Ritter in this little indie, like totally bringing it in a new, different way. And anyway, so the ceremony goes on and people speak, and it's very emotional, and as you'd imagine. And at a certain point, his wife or someone, I forgot who it was, got up and said, look, as you all know, John loved USC, and he loved USC football more than anything. And he also wouldn't want this to be too maudlin. He would want it to be more of a celebration. So without further ado, the USC marching band. And the entire USC marching band comes blasting down all of the aisles. Wow. Loud, 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 like screaming to the heavens. And it was so emotional and so moving. And then as people filed out, they created a tunnel and you walked through, I mean, horn players and drummers playing at full volume. And it was just, I was so fucking moving. It was the most moving thing that I've ever seen at a funeral. And I actually tried to put a version of it in my film Wish I Was Here. And we shot it. I ended up cutting it because it felt like it, it's weird that it happened in real life. But when I shot it and put it into a movie, it felt too surreal and like, when would that ever happen? But I'm telling you, this really beautiful, surreal moment happened. And I'll never forget that.
We do like there's something like that in the next season of Scrubs also when Carla's about to deliver the baby. Turk has the – I believe we got the USC – marching band to come and play drums. And
if we did, it's because Bill and I were both in. That's funny, actually, that you say that, Donald, because it shows that both Bill and I were like, this is so incredible. I'm swiping away the tears, and I'm totally going to put this in something one day.
Right. Remember we go through the drive-through with the band and everything like
that? Yeah. I do remember that. I'll tell you one thing I don't remember.
I want to ask – what's that?
I have no recollection of going into full kabuki Japanese makeup. Yeah.
I didn't.
And I just sent a pic. I took a still from this episode and I sent it to my brother because, you know, like you, he enjoys God's lettuce. And I thought he's going to laugh at this. And he was cracking up and he said, you have no memory of doing that? He goes, how could you not remember dressing like that? I go, it was 17 years ago? You know, it all blends together a little bit. I have no memory of either A, all that makeup, that costume, or doing that.
Or doing the actual.
I literally had a moment where I was like, well, that must be me, right? I mean, who else is doing that? But I have no memory of it.
We're not going to do the recap today.
Why?
I didn't put it together, man. My kids got out of school early. I can do a quick, like, freestyle.
No, no. I got to tell you, dude. I got to tell you, and this is from the bottom of my heart. I'm not just saying this. People love when you fucking took this to the next level. And all of a sudden, we got Daniel. And I'm going to talk shit about Daniel for a second because he isn't here.
Well, you got to understand, but you got to understand where he's coming from and what he means.
Well, let me explain to the audience on our group chat. We have a group chat now because Joelle finally, I'm watching my girlfriend jog in our yard. She's so cute. All right, I'm back.
He's so in love.
What?
So sweet.
Yeah, I'm still in the stage where imagine, I'm like, oh, jogging.
It's forever. Like my wife, I'm in the closet and the shower's right there. And sometimes she'll take a shower while I'm recording.
Just
be sitting there like, I'll be like, oh, she's showering.
Oh, that's good. And you guys have been together a long time. So Daniel, we had a group chat. We have a group chat now because Joelle got an iPhone and the texts don't go green. So we're finally all in a group chat.
Texts don't go green.
And we're talking all about how fucking awesome Donald's raps are. And all my Instagram is all about Donald's fucking raps and Daniel's beat. And I'm like, oh my God, you guys really got to start. You brought it. Daniel's like, I can't do that every week. The beats take too much time. Or every episode, the beats take too much time. I'm like, well, just lay down a track then. He's like, no, I have to like tweak it and do it and fix it.
It's because I don't rap the same way every time. It's too different.
But what if you had a click track so you kept in rhythm?
But that's not what the problem is. It's that he would still have to switch the beat. You want the person to ride the beat. You know what I mean? You want the beat to be this. And so what he did is he took what I did and then made it so that I'm on the beat and it's like a wave. You want to ride the wave.
All right. Well, what Daniel's saying is it's too much work to do it every episode for him.
It's a lot of tracks, and then he'd be throwing away tracks on me, a hack rapper. You know what I mean? So it's like,
well, I mean, just devil. All right, let's look at the devil's advocate version. All right, I'm Daniel. I'm a DJ. I fucking love making beats. Why not blast to the world my Daniel beats?
It would have been funny if you see. This is the problem. It would have been funny. It would have been if Daniel would have just did something simple like, "Oh, you want me to do a beat?" and just did boom, boom, bap. Boom, boom,
I can do that on my new coming sample
with
pad.
Nothing, and then just doing if that's all he did. If he went straight up RZA on it, he could go RZA on it. RZA got some of the dopest beats ever, though, man. We got to keep it 100, though, man. But the RZA had the same cadence of his drums: boom, boom, bap, boom, whatever. I forget what it was. I forget what the cadence was. But the RZA had the same cadence on every song, pretty much, mm-hmm. with his drums. So I guess it could work.
I liked your last cadence, that one. What did you say it was? You said it was Adam's Family-esque or something?
That was the first one, was Adam's Family-esque.
Oh. How did you describe the second one?
The second one, I don't know. I don't know how to describe the second one.
It was good, dude. I'm just thinking, I sound like my stepmother and my late father. Whenever I would do anything, they'd be like, "You should do that."
I will do. All right, so check this out.
Like, I'd be like, "What?" They'd be like, when I was in the Broadway show, the Broadway musical, they were like, "You should release an album of old standards." I'm like, "I'm not going to release an album of old." They were like, "You're such a good singer. People would love it." Oh, and I feel like my stepmother Elaine to you right now. I'm like, "Donald, you need to put out a rap album."
Oh, Poopsie. Listen, okay. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'll do.
Her nickname is Poopsie, everybody.
This is what I'll do. I promise this. For your episode, which is coming up,
yes.
I'll write the rap for that one.
I need all of you audience to be prepared for the episode we've talked about. It's called My Last Chance. It's 408. Guest stars Molly Shannon, Heather Graham. When Molly announces that she's moving away to pursue another job opportunity, JD sees her leaving party as his last chance to get close to her / have sex. Unfortunately, Elliot isn't so keen on the pair getting together. I didn't remember if Molly and JD ever got together, and I'm seeing by reading this sheet that we never do.
Yeah, you never do.
But you guys, I know you make fun of me for that episode, but it's coming up and it's really good. All right, let's talk about the show. No recap today, guys. We don't have Daniel, and Donald didn't find the time.
I got a little. So I could tell you a little something. This show was very difficult to do a recap on because it touches on having to give you my emotional feeling of loss, and it's not something I was prepared for.
So you were really affected by it.
Yeah, and it's not that this is the best episode. You could tell that this was scrambled together. I really want to know.
Yeah.
I want to ask Bill, really, to be honest with you, what was the original episode going to be about, you know?
Oh, that's a good one. Why don't you formally do an Ask Bill? I mean, the guy's dying to be on the show more. We know now.
Okay, well, Bill, you know, I know you said you don't want to do the Ask Bill. Maybe you could turn this into the Ask Interrupting Bill segment,
yeah.
Where I ask you a question, and then you interrupt me because you already know the answer on what I'm going to ask you. What was the original plot to this episode?
Hey, Donald. Hey, Zach. I was just randomly sitting here thinking about how this show has such great merch and swag, and nobody sent me any of it. Whatever. That's not a huge issue either way. My cake. This episode always makes me sad because, and Donald, you asked, I can't even remember what the original story was. All I can tell you was that John Ritter was showing up Monday to start work. And, you know, we heard about his passing that Saturday night before Monday. And, you know, we're able to do the other storylines and just threw that story out. And I think it was kind of a, you know, trite but funny storyline that you were dealing with. JD was dealing with his dad instead of dealing with Turk's diabetes. And we instead called up Tom Cavanaugh, and he was able to make it work of getting out there and shooting all that stuff late in the week. And, you know, it was a really weird experience because we did an episode about JD's dad dying and kind of processed John Ritter, who we all loved, not only, you know, as a performer and character, but as a guy. you know, kind of processed his passing simultaneously with doing a show about it. It was a really weird experience. I always think back about how much I loved watching that guy work and how lucky we are to have gotten to work with him. That's it. Miss you guys.
Why do you think he introduced the idea that Turk has diabetes?
I think because of Stegman. Mark Stegman was a writer on Scrubs.
Right.
And he got diabetes, and they said that they were going to, if I remember correctly, they were going to base Turk's diabetes off of his experience.
I see. Because he was sort of a young guy who got type 2 diabetes and came out of nowhere and like, oh, let's. Also, it's interesting to give a doctor a malady so they can. You can go into all these, you know, stories about what it's like to be a doctor who needs to be treated.
It's very interesting that Turk and Carla don't take it as, I mean, they obviously take it seriously, but they're very nonchalant about it. And he's not as, like, I know if the doctor told me I had type 2 diabetes right now, in the dramatic shift in life for me, And the worry in me, am I gonna die? All of that stuff. Turk is so, and Carla, they're so at ease about all of it. It was really interesting to watch them, you know. Well,
type two is way easier to deal with than type one, right?
Right. You can exercise. There's ways that you can make it.
You don't have to do the shots.
Right.
What about your brain? We see inside. This is the first time there's ever been a fantasy within a fantasy within a fantasy. We keep coming out of the audience keeps thinking you're out of the fantasy, but it's still going. When you first go into Turk's brain.
Well, you see, go into Turk's brain.
I have a fantasy that I'm in Turk's brain. And in Turk's brain is Judy and Heather in lingerie, and they're gearing up to make out. Now, what's funny is that there's posters on the wall. There's a Sanford and Sons poster. And what's the other poster? There was some rap. Maybe it was Run DMC or something. I don't know. But I just was laughing at the production design of your brain.
Not only that, all women are lesbians in my brain.
Yeah. And even Molly is like, "I, you're not gay." And she's like, "I am in here." So then we pop out, and I think Molly wants to make out with me. And then we pop out of that fantasy, and you want to make out with me. And I'm going, "I don't have gay jungle fever." But I do, Donald.
I totally do. You totally are down with the swirl. You are totally down to swirl.
Down to swirl. What does that mean?
When you swirl chocolate and vanilla.
Oh, I'm down to swirl. I'm very down to swirl.
Are you down to swirl gay?
I don't think that's a thing, Donald. You can be
down to swirl gay. Oh no, I don't have gay swirl. Well, I thought about it. And I come to the conclusion that I don't have gay swirl.
Okay. Yo, when is Pride? When is Pride? When is Pride, dude?
In the summer.
I don't know. Just something came over me the other day. I was like, when is Pride?
It's always in the summer because there's always a big naughty parade in Manhattan.
This year's Pride is going to be off the chain.
No, it's canceled. Dude. No one's doing fucking Pride.
It is going to be Zoom Pride, dude.
Zoom this Pride. Be- Dude, I'll participate in Zoom Pride.
I will participate in Zoom Pride. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to the parade down in
You've
Hollywood.
Never gone to the Manhattan Parade? Oh, I've never gone to the West Hollywood one, but I used to
the
always
Hollywood
go to
the- West Hollywood Parade is not great, but the New York one is good.
I used to always go to the New York Parade because it was just the craziest people watching you'd ever fucking seen. And it was so fun, and everybody's having a good time, and it's amazing. When the world opens back up, you got to go to New York City Pride. It's incredible.
Yes. When I lived in Chicago, the parade route went right by my apartment. It was perfection.
You can't beat awesome. That with a baseball bat. It just seems like so much fun, man. It just seems like so much fun.
Everyone becomes a go-go dancer. No rules.
All right.
The janitor's nuts, dude. I get the reason for the crane. We should go to break. You want
to go to break?
Go to break,
Joel?
We should go to break.
Yeah, we can go to break.
We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with the Donald Faison.
And the Zach Braff and Joel Monique.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're you know what song I've been singing all week since I saw you guys?
What song?
Small waist, pretty face with a big bang.
We got so many like requests for you to release that video.
I know, everyone. Listen, so I promise you when we do the live show, I will do the dance. Small face, pretty waist with a big bang. I see. By the next line is like, why you hating on me, girl? You're my mama's age. I can't get that fucking song out of my head. Small waist, pretty face with a big bang.
Should we talk about the janitor and how the janitor is diabolical?
He's diabolical. By the way, this is one of the few episodes I learned on Scrubs Wiki where the janitor is not tormenting me.
It's tormenting Kelso instead.
Yeah. The janitor, it seems, has taken the day off from ruining my character's life because my dad died.
Yeah.
So he's decided to focus his ire on Kelso.
Which is hilarious.
Yes.
Some of the although the end where he's hanging up over his head before, you know, when the car, he comes back and the car's back and now he's above him. Yeah. You can totally see the shadow going over kid. All freaking Kelso would have to do is look up and be like, come on, man.
It's a heightened reality, Donald. The janitor builds a livable sandcastle.
Like he
in the
walks
parking
up. Like where's Kent? Like is Kent not wearing a baseball cap?
Donald, do you remember when you stuffed me into a backpack?
I
and
do.
It wasn't
remember
a, and it wasn't a fantasy?
Yes.
Do you remember that? You fit me into a knapsack.
Yes, and it was not a fantasy. I do remember that. Yes, yes.
So it's a heightened reality, but it is very funny. And I think you could just rationalize that Dr. Kelso has really poor peripheral vision and he only sees right in front of his face.
Right in front of him. That's it.
But you know what's hilarious with Sam Lloyd with his hair popping up?
That, when it popped up after, when
How did they do that? That looked great, that effect.
That was amazing.
How did they do that effect?
I don't know, but I laughed so hard at that. I laughed so hard. And so, I remember that scene. I remember, this is one of the few episodes that I remember, not very well, but I remembered that his hair was going to do that. And when it happened again, I still laughed so hard.
It was so funny. And they did a really funny like effect of it pop when the janitor swings on the crane into right. Kelso's office and grabs Sam. I what a wacky fucking episode. I wonder, you're right, how much of it was just like had to be scrapped and rewritten for Tom. I mean, obviously I know that had to be done, but I wonder if like certain things like this storyline were untouched because it was fine.
Right.
We're going to find out from Ask Bill.
I don't know. All I know is that made me laugh so hard. I think that's the biggest laugh of the show, that moment right there. And then kudos to Tom Cavanaugh for coming in and sitting in a bathtub for a day. And you know what I mean? That was great stuff.
It's such a weird way to mourn. By the way, fans really love this beat, at least. I know. I've seen a lot of people talk about Dan in the tub. And it is the most bizarre way to grieve I've ever seen. I'm just going to sit in a tub for a few days and grieve and just piss in the tub. It's so gross, the tub. He plunges. This is fucking nasty.
Yeah,
he uses his plunger to grab a beer out of the toilet because JD's made him a makeshift cooler. And then he drops the plunger into the toilet with himself. Do you ever think about both plungers and toilet brushes, how like you use them, right? And of course they have like doo-doo particles on them.
Come on, man.
But then you just put it right next to the toilet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dan lets that fall into the tub that he's in. So gross.
Dude. Yeah, the whole tub sequence itself was kind of gross. Him drinking the beer and being like, backwash.
Yeah.
Backwash. Ugh. Just gross. And then Cox being like, I'm pretty sure there's more pee than water in that bathtub. Yeah. And he goes, yes, I believe the ratio has shifted.
I believe the ratio has shifted that way. What about Chuck Woolery? Now, Chuck Woolery in the intervening years has gone full mega, mega Trumper. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that.
Chuck Woolery is, speaking of people that are very outspoken on social media.
Is he one of them?
Yes, I'm not sure.
Oh, that's right. He was the one that said that freaking, whatchamacallit, infiltrated the people at the Capitol, right? Didn't he say that?
I don't know what he said, but I know that he probably won't be cast on The Mandalorian anytime soon. But politics aside, do you remember the love connection? These kids these days don't know the fucking love connection. They should bring that shit back.
He hosted the love connection, but did he host the newlywed game also?
No.
Okay, that was
somebody
else.
No, he was, remember his catchphrase was, we'll be back in two. And as a kid, I didn't know what that meant, but it meant four commercials, right? 2 minutes, 2 seconds, which was four commercials. Did you know that?
No.
What did you think he meant when he's like, we'll be back in two?
Like, we'll be back in two. I don't know what the fuck he meant.
That's what he meant. He meant, well, okay, everybody, we'll be back in two. That was his catchphrase, which meant four commercials. I don't know what the 2 seconds were, like the buffer.
I don't. Oh, that's what I thought. That's what I thought he meant. I thought he meant 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
Yeah,
that's what I thought he meant.
Anyway, so Love Connection, for those of you who are too young to know, was a show where they would present you as the person who was on the show with three potential dates, and then the audience would vote which person you should go out with.
No, didn't you have to vote? I think you voted. I think
No, the audience voted.
Real? I thought it was Bachelor number one, such and such.
No, you're confusing. The dating game. That's the dating game.
Oh.
Love Connection was, they had videos. This is like, obviously, it goes without saying. It's before the internet.
Oh, that's right. I remember the Love Connection now.
I think that's the theme.
And they would go out on dates, and then they'd come back and talk about the dates.
Right. And they would argue, which was obviously the best when they would get in fights over what the date was like. And then if you liked the person, they'd be like, now, if you'd like to go out again, we'll pay for it. Like, that was – the prize was so stingy. It was like, you're going to buy us fucking dinner? Like, thanks. But I guess the prize was you gained love.
Right. No, but I remember there would be times where they would argue the whole show.
Yeah, that's
And then they'd be
good.
Like, if you'd like to go out for dinner, we'll pay for it. And the girl would be like, I mean, I guess we could go out again.
Yeah, for lobster, sure. Yeah, man. I don't know about the Love Connection. I do think it would be a great concept now. I don't know why. If you're a producer, I'm willing to host the new Love Connection.
Really? And there it is. I expect the Love Connection to be on ABC next season.
But I want to do the thing that you did, Donald, when you did your game show. I don't want it to be a part of my regular life. I want to show up for like a weekend and bang out like 100 of them.
You don't want to do that, dude. I'm going to tell you something right now. I literally did something... Well, not literally. I did something very similar to that.
I know. You hosted a game show, and how many did you bang out in like 2 days?
In 8 days, we banged out something like 40, 50 episodes or something.
Did you lose
like
your
that.
Mind?
Yeah, man. I do not recommend it to anyone. Whether you're a writer on the show, whether you're a producer on said show, whether you're the host, whether you're the stage manager, whether you're the costume. I do not recommend it. It's a lot of work in very little time. I lost my voice. You watch people fight each other because there's no way it can go smooth. You're trying to shoot, you know, a shit ton of shows.
Right. You lose your mind a bit.
Yeah. And I don't recommend it.
By the way, when we first were talking about doing this podcast, a fellow we were talking to said, you can do three, you can do like nine in a weekend. You can do Friday, Saturday, Sunday, three a day. And we were like, that doesn't sound fun at all. Like, that sounds like work as opposed to like catching up with your friend.
Right.
I was glad that Donald agreed with me. Like, we don't want to be like exhausted doing this. It'll feel like a job. Like, let's do it naturally and not bank them like that, because doing nine in a weekend, by the time you got to the third one, you'd be like, ugh.
Another, right. What are we going to talk about?
Right. I'm glad that we didn't do that.
I'm very happy. I'm happy we didn't do that too. I will say this though. When you do it when doing the game show and doing that many episodes, by the time I got to the last 2 days, we were flying, and it just seemed like we were, you know, just zipping through show after show after show after show after show after show.
Mm-hmm.
But the first 2 days, it's an experiment. Like, I was also doing a pilot one season at the same time. And so I was coming in, you know, after working until 3 o'clock in the morning, going to work at, you know, 6 a.m. on the set to do the game show and then having to muster up all of this energy and stuff
like
that.
It sounds like you were burning the candle at both ends, Donald.
Is that what they say?
That's
an expression.
Is that
what that means? Is that what that means? Because what happens when it gets to the middle? What happens when the candle gets to the middle?
You die.
You die.
That's right. That's it. It's a wrap.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
The candle is no more. The wick is no more. You are dead.
It's a wrap. There's not even a place to collect the wax. There's nothing.
Well, listen, when I host the new Love Connection.
Next season on ABC.
Coming this fall on ABC. I really want you to come on and be my guest host sometimes.
Yeah, no problem.
Will you be like, you know how Ellen has the DJ guy?
Oh, gosh.
No, he didn't like that.
By the way, that guy, is that the fella that's a sick dancer whose wife is a sick dancer and I always send you their videos?
Yes.
They, oh my God. I always send Donald these videos.
Well, let's just put it into context. Zach sends me these videos and says, you and your wife should do this. Have you seen these two dance, buddy?
Well, first of all, they're obviously professional dancers and they're insane and they're so fun. Will you find out his name, Joel? I want to give him a shout out. Because I don't even follow them, to be honest, but it comes up on my feed. And they are the cutest couple, and they're both insane dancers, and they're dancing together. And I always forward them to Don. I'm like, you and Casey got to do this. And he's like, Casey can't dance.
Casey cannot dance.
But you can dance like that. They're killing it.
I can dance a little something.
And they have
these
faces on. You know what's so funny? When dancers make this face that's like, I could be doing this shit in my sleep, you know?
Yeah. This is easy to me?
Yeah. I think if you're a dancer, the coolest thing you can do, there's two things. There's two parts of it. You act like right before the dance start, you act like you're not even like, you're just like adjusting your clothes. You're not even trying to dance and like something you haven't even figured. And then all of a sudden you pop into it and the shit's amazing. Right? Yeah. And then, Joel got it from me. Stephen Boss is his name and his wife is Allison Holker. So watch them on Instagram. It's incredible. And so they both do that. Like, oh, they're just adjusting their clothes. Oh, honey, how was your – oh, shit. They jump into the fucking choreographed shit. And then the whole time they have these look on their faces like, this isn't shit. Like, this is like – I could be fucking drinking coffee while I'm doing this.
If it was me dancing, it would be horrible because I'm making faces like – you see the spit coming out of my mouth. I'm breathing in so hard. Like, my cheeks get big. It'd be You know what I mean?
I'm just telling you, can you teach Casey one simple dance so the audience can
My daughter tried to teach her mother how to dance and
Aww. Well then do it with Wilder.
She didn't want to disrespect her mom by saying, Mommy, you can't dance and you don't need to do what you're doing is not. So she's trying every which way to be like, we don't need to do this anymore. Let's do something else. Because she didn't want to tell her mom that her mom couldn't dance.
Aww.
That's sweet, though, that she has such compassion at a young age like that.
I know, but it still hurt Casey's feelings.
Aww.
Because Casey dreams of being, like, when she was younger, she wanted to be the pop singer / freaking on the stage.
Well, she's
dancing.
Got the body for it these days, Donald. Sorry. Sorry, I went off somewhere. I went into a JD fantasy. All right. Sorry.
Hold on.
I'm back. Uh-oh. No. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. Oh, he's going.
Now he's going to make me. I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to obviously get Casey and he's going to say, Zach, tell Casey that you think she's hot.
It was Casey going to say, but thank you. Or stop talking about me on your show.
She loves to go pull. Casey onto the show.
I tell you, Zach, the fans love it too.
They do.
They love hearing from Casey.
All right, fans. Here come. I'm sure he's getting her. She's got a lot of sundresses in that closet, Joelle. Look at all those sundresses.
This is very hippie and flowy-ish, and I like it.
Yeah, very good for Los Angeles.
Tell her what you told me, Zach.
Oh, boy.
Y'all give me anxiety when y'all call me.
Well, he's trying to embarrass me because I said you were hot.
Well, I love that.
We were talking about, do you ever watch that woman, Allison Holker and Stephen Boss dance on, they're a couple, he's the guy who's on Ellen and they're a couple and they dance on Instagram together?
Uh-huh.
I've sent you their videos and been like, you and Donald need to dance like this. And Donald said, well, Casey's not necessarily the best dancer.
I'm horrible.
And then he said, well, back in the day, she wanted to be a pop star, so don't tell her that or something like that. And I said, she's got the body for it. And then I got quiet because I was thinking about how fly you look, and then things got awkward, but not as awkward as this moment.
Okay, first of all, Zach, you can say I'm hot every single day.
Thank you. You look amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, I've never wanted to be a pop star.
Yeah, you used to tell me you used to sit in your yard and sing loud as can be.
I said it's a damn shame that I can't sing because I would kill it.
Right.
I would.
Yes, Casey.
I
would.
Joelle, I'm serious because I watch these people and I think they complain. Oh, I just don't want to go out there and do this. I would live my best life if I could carry a tune.
I just want you to know that you're my fitness inspo right now. Every time I click onto the Peloton, I think of like, give me that Casey body. Give me that Casey body.
Oh my gosh. That Peloton is my life savior. I need to, I fell off
You told me they're making a treadmill version. You told me that. I didn't even know that. I Googled it.
They have a treadmill, but they're coming out with a new treadmill that has support. It has more support, and that's the one.
Oh, I didn't know they had a treadmill version of a running version of Peloton until you told me.
Yeah, I think, but well, you'll never know because the wait list is out the ass.
Oh, really?
We'll never get one.
Well, we have a connection here because now they're our sponsor, so maybe we can pull some strings. Joelle, I need that treadmill.
Yeah,
well, working on it.
We'll show.
All right, we got to go. Enough talking about your hot body. Get out of here.
Okay, I love you. Love you, Zach. I love you.
Oh, God. Joelle, can I have that as a soundbite, please?
Bye, Joelle.
By the way, that's going to be Daniel. Daniel, I know you're not here, but you're going to listen. I need that sample for my pad. That's going to be one of my samples. She just said, Zach, I love you. That's going to be one of my samples.
But it's like a sister.
No, but I'm going to put it. I'm going to hit. Well, I don't. For my brain, it's not a sister thing. It's one of
those. Ew. Dude, what is going on here?
What
is going on here?
What? What is going are you on talking? Here?
You are getting weird all of a sudden.
I'm sorry. I took it too far. I flew too close to the sun. JD is wearing a Tompkins Square Park t-shirt. I just want to point out that that's in Alphabet City. So this is the second episode in a row where JD is giving nods to the East Village of Manhattan for some reason.
I didn't pick up on that, but yes, okay.
Now, this is something that's sort of brushed over, but Cox punches JD in the face.
Yeah.
That felt a little bit much.
Yeah. Cox is coming from a great place, and he really is stepping up for JD and trying to take all of his patients for him and, you know, make it so the guy has a day off and has the correct amount of time or the enough time to grieve. Mm-hmm. The problem was that he was doing it for himself and not necessarily for JD. He felt like he was doing something good for a friend, but it was making him feel better. It was making him feel good.
Right.
And that's where the problem was. And
but
so
I don't think you really recover that quickly from someone, especially your mentor, punching you in the face. I mean, they don't show it on camera. This is like an off-camera thing.
But
comes out and goes, I punched him in the face. And then you see JD and he's got a bloody nose. And we're all just like, all of a sudden, everyone's just bouncing back like, oh, that never happened. My boss didn't punch me in the face to get a bloody nose or anything.
Well, this is also the episode where Ted's hair pops up like a cartoon. And
no,
Tom
but I'm
Kavanaugh
saying like, that's a heightened reality situation. Your boss punching you in the face is a pretty crazy experience in life that most people don't have.
I think this is one of those episodes where I think this is one of those. I dare my boss to punch me in the face. Shit. I'm making me some money. Punch me, motherfucker. I dare you. Shit.
I know.
Give me that money.
Please.
That'd be the best day ever. Like you just hanging out at work and Kevin Feige walks in and punches you in the face.
Right.
If you wanted to marble people, you're like, you just made my life. Thank you.
No, Jeff Bezos punches you in the face. Please punch me in the face.
Right. You're at freaking Amazon, and he's walking in, taking a tour, and he sees you and just walks up and punches you in the face. You're like, thank you.
By the way, if you're Jeff Bezos, you're probably being sued every hour. So you probably can't, like, your life is so limited because everyone's just like, trying to find a reason to sue you.
Right. That was the funniest thing ever, that Dave Chappelle sketch where he gets Oprah pregnant. and she calls him up and she goes, Dave? And he goes, yeah, Oprah, what's up? She goes, I'm pregnant. And he goes, like he's celebrating on trying to not so she can't hear it. And then he goes, is it mine? And she goes, it's yours. And he gets even happier. He's like, I imagine that's what it'd be like if Jeff Bezos just came up and punched you in the face. You'd be so happy. You'd be so happy. Like Dave Chappelle was happy for a one-night stand with Oprah. I'd be so happy if Jeff Bezos just punched me in the face. Because that means I'm a billionaire.
Right.
I'm a billionaire.
You'd be so rich.
I get it on camera.
I'm watching The Tiger. Speaking of rich people and babies, I'm watching The Tiger documentary now. The Tiger King? No, the Tiger Woods documentary.
Oh,
I'm on a sports documentary kick after Last Dance.
The Tiger Woods documentary is a good one. You remember Uchitel?
Yeah, I know Rachel Uchitel. She was a party planner and VIP host, and she threw us
your party.
She threw me one of my birthday parties in Manhattan.
Vegas.
No, that one was in Manhattan.
What was the one in Vegas that we went to that she threw the party?
I don't know. She
Vegas
was. She's. I mean, we only. She was super cool. I have nothing but great things to say about Rachel. She was. So, but all of a sudden, there she is in the documentary. And she sits down. And she's like, "All right, what do you want me to say?
Right.
That was good. That was good." But I haven't gotten to the nitty gritty of their love connection, if you will.
It comes up.
But it's fascinating. Oh my God, I really didn't know, and you're gonna laugh at me, but I knew he was great. I had no idea he was as good as he was.
He's like LeBron James. LeBron James was appointed the chosen one at a very, 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 very young age. And usually when you do that, the person doesn't pan out. The chosen one doesn't pan out. In every aspect of, even in the movies, the chosen one doesn't pan out. Tiger and LeBron did from the gate. You were going to be great at this sport. You are going to not only be great, you are going to change the sport. And both of them did.
Yeah. But I mean, Tiger's hitting shots. I didn't even know human beings could. I mean, I know it's the same thing with Jordan. It's the same thing with all athletic groups. But again, from someone who knows nothing about sports, they just showed in one episode in part two, he has to hit this chip shot. That's like it's like the worst position. It's not on the green. It's like he has to use his sand wedge or whatever it is. And he chips it up and it fucking bounces once and goes in. And it was like, I didn't know a human being could do that. I mean, not to mention the fucking random hole in ones he gets from teeing off.
Right. He's an amazing, there's another level. And what's crazy now is that golf is filled with a bunch of people who were inspired by him. And so you have all of these young kids. When I was growing up, I didn't watch golf. You know what I mean? And if you did watch golf and it was on, it was a bunch of old people playing, like a bunch of really old people playing. Now, golf has 18 years. Like, it's kids playing golf. And they're not just hitting the ball like it's so exciting because they're not hitting the ball like a couple of hundred yards. They're hitting the ball like 350 to 400 yards now. There's this dude named DeChambeau who I'm sorry, man. I think this dude is the biggest man I've ever seen play golf ever in the history. Like, I don't mean chubby. I mean, he took some creatine and some freaking aminos and then just lifted a bunch of weight. And now he's bombing the ball so far. And so golf has now become so much fun.
Was Tiger the first person to get like ripped into it?
Tiger was the first. Like, nobody knew he looked like that, you know? Nobody knew he looked like that until that Vanity Fair article came out after the scandal happened. You know what I mean? No, I remember Casey seeing that thing and being like, holy shit, I didn't know he looked like that. Like, nobody knew Tiger looked like that under there. You knew he was working out, but nobody knew he looked like that, dude. At one point, Tiger was for real, like, this is going to sound weird, but like apex predator on tour. Like, he was the king of the tour when it came to everybody, like, all of the... Even the greats bowed down to him. And then off the field also, he was like this stud that you couldn't believe it because it was like this nerdy dude who played golf and you didn't look at golfers that way. And Tiger was doing things that, you know, all these other professional athletes were doing. It was his story is like And it's what took him down. It's one of the most phenomenal stories ever. And then his rise back. And now you watch his son play. And his son is just like him. It's like...
Did Tiger come back? I don't really know anything about... I know he had a comeback, but has he come back at a really good level?
He was winning a lot, and then he got injured. And the injuries took him away from the game for a really long time. And then he had the DUI, and then he had the pill thing, and...
I don't know. I'm only in part two of the documentary.
Okay. Well, anyway, all these things happen. And then after that, he's bounced back and he's won a major again.
Oh, good.
He won. Yeah. I root for Tiger all the time because, you know, it's very rare that in a sport like golf, you see any brown skin, you know,
there's still there's not a lot of black golfers.
Still to this day, him, Harold Varnard, the third, there may be a couple of more. Jason Day is brown. There may be a couple of more. I'm sure I'm forgetting some people.
What's the farthest you can drive?
So the furthest I've ever driven is 316 yards, which is on tour, which is a little bit under average. Like these guys average.
Three football fields.
Yeah.
That's far, it seems to me.
It is. It's very far, but these guys are driving like 350, carrying like 320, like, you know what I mean? Like just ridiculous numbers.
And they put spin. I have a question that came up for me in the documentary. So if you're trying to drive far and then you have to go left because that's where the green is, are they putting some sort of spin on it that it goes and then starts to turn? How does that work?
So the golf club is like a ping pong paddle almost.
Oh, you can put spin on it.
You can, right, but it comes from different angles. So if you want it to go... If you wanted to go right, you come at the ball from, you know, it's like a, the best way to do it is like when we play tennis and you want to slice or you want top, yeah. it's how you hit the ball, from which angle you hit the ball causes this type of spin. So some people are able to make it hit the green.
You're very good with
back.
Spin. Donald loves this. Donald gets bored playing tennis, and so then he starts doing trick shots, and he does these crazy spins where, like, I mean, no one can fucking hit it. It like does the wackiest shit. By the way, I'm playing Wednesday. Do you want to come?
Where?
With Chris.
Where? What time?
At his house.
What time?
I don't know. Wait, I do know. 1 p.m. I think.
So you're playing right after Case.
I must be. Do you want to come?
I'll come through. If I can get a babysitter. That's if Kai is back.
Okay. All right. So, Joelle, oh my God, I wish the fans could see. When we do the live show, Joelle, you're going to have to bring this puppy.
Yeah.
There is the cutest puppy you've ever seen that Joelle has adopted and rescued. all right. Listen, everybody. We got a fan call. We'll be right back after these fine words.
And we're back.
Who do we have today? What fun adventures will we get in? What part of the world will we be going to?
Let's go to the fan caller and find out.
What part of the world will this caller take us to? We just never know.
Wayne, are you here?
Oh, hey. There he is.
Wayne, give it up for Wayne Kwong.
Thunderous applause. Dan, when you hear
Turn
this, add thunderous
your
applause.
Key.
Hi, Wayne. How are you?
I am good. How are you guys?
Welcome to the program. We're very honored that you're joining us.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from a little city called Selma in California, right outside the outskirts of Fresno.
Okay.
I don't even know where Fresno is. Where is Fresno? I've heard of it.
You got to go north.
North.
It's
north,
Central
north
Valley.
East. Oh, Central Valley. Okay.
Yeah. So just up north past Bakersfield, probably about 3 hours away from... LA.
Okay. And I sense that you like dogs, basketball, and Star Wars.
That is true. Yes. I'm a huge Lakers fan.
Okay.
So anytime Shea was on the program, I loved hearing his take on just basketball as a whole.
Oh my God, Shea. We forgot about Shea. Joelle, we got to book Shea for season 4.
Copy
that. I didn't forget about Shea.
Well, I didn't forget about Shay, but we usually, the first thing when we start a new season is we call Shay and be like, which one do you want to do? And we haven't done that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sorry,
we'll
buddy.
Thank you, Wayne.
Sorry, Wayne, you reminded me we have to call Shay.
Not a problem at all. And I do have a dog. He is hiding behind me now. He's a Corgi Australian Shepherd mix.
Wow. Those are both cool breeds.
Yeah.
And Jedi, you love Return of the Jedi, it seems.
I do, yes.
Is that your favorite of all the movies?
I would actually say it's tied with Empire Strikes Back.
Hell yeah.
I have a soft spot for Return of the Jedi because of how just this nostalgia. Like, that was really the first one I saw growing up. I actually skipped A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. Saw that one first, didn't really get it, and then went around and watched the other one. So
you did the Donald treatment.
I got to tell you a funny story. Wayne, I was on some Reddit thread last night reading. There was some Reddit thread that was like, what are fan theories that you actually believe? And there's like, you know, a zillion of them. But I was screenshotting the Star Wars ones because I thought, oh, I'll send it to Joelle and Donald, my two mega Star Wars fans, and I'll show them something they might not know. And Donald's like in the chat, like, I know that one. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I don't agree with that one. Yeah, I've heard that one. And like, bro, I'm just trying to do a service and send you some shit I found on Reddit.
But you send me like easy ones, like the reason why Luke Skywalker's lightsaber is green is because he's using Qui-Gon's crystal. But that was obvious, man. He got it from Obi-Wan's hut. Like, these things are obvious.
I don't even know. By the way, I scanned it and I was like, I don't know who the fuck any of these people are. Like, Qui-Gon? I don't know who Qui-Gon is.
You know who Liam Neeson is? You know who Liam Neeson is?
Qui-Gon?
You know who Liam Neeson is? You love them, Liam Neeson.
Do you know the name of, you know who Quato is?
Yeah, Quato.
From Total Recall?
Total Recall, dude. Yeah.
Quato. I wonder, I'd like to see a movie with Quato and Qui-Gon.
Both dead.
Listen, all right, Wayne, do you have a question for us?
I do. I have a few questions. So the first one to run through is, are there any movies or TV shows that both you and Donald wish you could have starred in together or could do a US spinoff of? Like, for example, I thought it'd be hilarious to see a Zach Braff and Donald Faison version of a stoner comedy like Harold and Kumar.
Oh, but they crushed it. I don't know if we could do Harold and
Kumar. We could do a stoner comedy, but I don't think we would do Harold and Kumar. The first answer that comes to my mind is Spies Like Us.
Oh.
Because I love the conceit of two guys way in over their heads being put into like Russia or wherever it is. And I loved that movie as a kid. And it doesn't have to be exactly that movie, or it doesn't even have to have the title Spies Like Us. But I've always said to Donald and Bill, actually, like, I would love to do like the rough premise of that. You know, we're underlings, you know, I believe that they were both like, just like, you know, cubicle guys at the CIA or something. And for XYZ reasons, they get called upon to go be undercover spies in the field. And I love that movie. And so I think Donald and I would be hilarious as, you know, sort of cubicle level CIA agents that are just doing some bullshit. And then for XYZ reasons, we get called upon to go like be the undercover spies. I would love that.
I think there was this movie that Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal did back in the day called Running Scared. And that's one. And the bad guy in it played Bail Organa in Star Wars. And Zach did a play with him in Central Park. His name is Jimmy Smits. And they did a movie called Running Scared back in the day, which is, in my opinion, it's Zach and I all over again. I'd be Gregory Hines and Zach would be Billy Crystal.
I've never seen it, I have to be honest.
If you get the chance, check it out.
Of course.
There are a lot of really good actors in it. Joey Papp is in it. How do you say his last name? Papaloni?
Pantalonis? No, that's the pants. How do you say Joey? I know they call him Joey Pants. I forgot how to say his last name.
Let me see.
Joey Pants. He's hilarious.
Yeah, Joey Pants is in it. Like,
he's in Goonies, too.
Yeah.
Remember?
I've worked with him before also. But
Joe Pantoliano?
Pantoliano.
Yeah, Joey Pantoliano's in it. Like, it's
I love that you said Pantalonis.
I know, crazy. I know.
All right. Anyway, by the way, you made me think of White Knights. I wish we could do White Knights.
Another great movie. Say
it together. If you haven't seen White Knights and you're listening to this, what the fuck are you doing?
That's the way it should be. White Knights. As we go down that lonesome highway.
Give it to him.
Seems the hardest thing to do is to find a friend or two. Boom. That helping hand who understands.
Is that Phil Collins?
No, that's Lionel Richie. When you seem to lost your way, you got someone to say, show you.
There's a Phil Collins song on that soundtrack, too.
Say you. There is?
Isn't there? Is that song?
Billy!
No,
Billy, don't you lose my number.
No, I think it's... You called me from the room in your hotel.
Oh, you have no right
to ask me how I feel. You have no right to speak to me. So I love that song. Oh, that song is fire. Someday I might find myself looking in your eyes.
Yeah. Wayne's like, what the fuck?
Sorry,
I just
Wayne,
asked one
sorry.
Question, dude. I just asked one question.
Wayne, promise me you'll watch White Knights.
I actually have the tab up and I'm going to rent.
No, Wayne. Wayne, Running Scared.
Wayne, you can watch both. It'll be a Gregory Hines
It'll be a Gregory Hines night.
Gregory Hines night at your house.
I'm gonna watch that with my wife when she gets back from work today.
I don't know if White Knights holds up, but I remember.
Oh yeah, dude, come on.
Man. I remember loving it.
Did the movie get nominated or something like that?
I don't know.
It's about defecting. It's about defecting.
Yeah, it's about Baryshnikov. By the way, yeah. Baryshnikov, who wasn't a professional actor, he was just a genius ballet dancer, acts his face off in it. Am I right, Joelle? Is that Phil Collins' song in the movie?
Yes. It was called Separate Lives.
Yeah. I need you audience members to not only crank Separate Lives after this show, but then I need you to watch White Knights. Wayne's gonna do it.
I'm absolutely gonna do it. I would do it right now, but I'm on here right now.
No, we're not allowed to play music.
We're glad you're here, and we're happy.
If we were allowed to play music, I'd be cranking that shit right now.
Oh, I won a Golden Globe for Best Original Score.
There you go. I think that Separate Lives and the song Donald's, the Lionel Richie song, were original for the movie. That might be crazy talk.
I think you're right, though. Wayne, do you have another question?
Sorry, Wayne, but God, you inspired me indirectly. I'm going to have a Phil Collins fest today on my computer. Ooh. All right, go ahead.
That's the best type.
You know which one. Superman, where are you now? I better down now.
These are the words we're given. Oh, and these are the time we did it. That shit was fun.
That used to be my jump off, dude.
I don't know what happened to Phil Collins, but I miss him.
Thought he was, wasn't he on Jimmy Fallon recently?
I don't know, but
I know his daughter is Lily Collins.
Coming in the air tonight.
He made a resurgence a little bit because of the two kids that were like reacting to that
song that they did on Saturday Night Live. Did you see them do the skit on Saturday Night Live this week?
Yep.
Very funny. Very funny.
All right. I didn't see that. All right. Sorry, Wayne, what's your next question?
Next question. For both of you guys, even Joelle, of course, feel free to bring in what you think. But what do you guys think are like the top three most important or influential movies of all time? Without including Star Wars, Donald, because we know that's like right there.
But I mean, okay, shit. Fuck, man. Damn.
Well,
I had to make it a little bit harder on you.
I got a couple of them.
Well, Jaws comes to my mind because Jaws, they credit with creating the summer blockbuster. Jaws was such a phenomenon that it launched the idea of a giant summer blockbuster. That's first thing that came to my mind when you asked the question.
I think Do the Right Thing was one of those movies that changed a lot of, you know what I mean? And we're still dealing with a lot of the things that happen in that movie today with police brutality, a disconnect with the inner city between law enforcement and stuff. Also racism and how it's shown, you know, how a white man can move into an all black neighborhood and thrive in a neighborhood and make money off of a community and then feel like the community's beneath him also. You know what I mean? It's like it's such a telling tale that is going on in America right now. So Do the Right Thing is definitely one of those movies that after I saw it, I was like, not only did it changed how I looked at movies also, because now I wanted to see more brown faces in movies. Like that was the first time where I really recognized, wait a second, I'm not represented enough in theater.
And as I understand it, Spike Lee was one of the first to make a political film about the black experience, right?
No, there's been a bunch of them. There's been a bunch of them before that. You know, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner is a political.
No, I mean, I just mean from a black. I don't know. I might just be regurgitating something that was said in Malcolm and Marie. Have you guys watched that yet?
No, not yet.
No, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's really interesting. I recommend it. Come here. Do you want to come say hi? Yeah, we have a visitor.
Hey!
Wayne,
don't ever say I don't introduce you to fancy people.
Oh my gosh. Hi.
This is Florence Pugh.
Hello!
This is Florence Pugh, and that's Wayne. He's
hey, Wayne,
guest.
How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Florence, I just want to say I loved you in Fighting With My Family.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I'm actually a huge wrestling nerd, and I love that movie. I love your portrayal of Paige. It was so good.
Aw, thank you so much. I really, that's really kind of you. I loved doing that film so much. I also loved pretending to be a wrestler for about 2 months. It was wicked.
Oh, yeah.
Can you still do some of those moves?
Yeah, babe, show Wayne some of the moves.
Okay. Headlock.
Don't mommy. Ow, she's got me in a headlock, Wayne. Imagine she just fucking snapped my neck.
Imagine she just put you to sleep. She was like, go to sleep.
She can beat the shit out of me, by the way. And I'm always like, stop fucking attacking me. And she's always doing these wrestling moves. Ah! Ah! She not only has the wrestling side, but now she's got the Black Widow side.
This
so she
true.
Beats the shit out of me, Wayne.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that movie, too. It's going to be so exciting.
All right, I'm going to give you all the spoilers, Wayne. Here we go.
I was about to say.
No.
Careful.
Done. All of a sudden, Kevin Feige like rappels from the ceiling.
Out of nowhere. Kevin Feige out of nowhere propels through the building and punches me in the face.
Yeah.
Best day ever.
Kevin, how did you get into my house?
Best day ever.
He's everywhere. They're listening. No, we're not telling you any secrets. However, yes, I do have a special set of skills without sounding like Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Now that I've acquired over the fighting films, and they're great, right?
Yeah.
You enjoy them?
They're awesome. Well, I love Fighting With My Family. I'm not just saying that because
I mean the skills.
Oh, I do like it. I think it's like great that you're a badass, but it is a bit emasculating for me because she like pins me and like giggles.
Awesome. Fucking awesome.
And I'm like trying to get out of it. I'm like, no, seriously, babe, that's you got me, okay?
The best thing.
And she's just sitting there fucking giggling, and I'm like pinned to the floor.
I've been tapping out for a while now. I've been tapping out.
Yeah, no, we'll be fighting, and he'll be like, I'm letting you win. And I'm like, oh, really? Is that why you're underneath?
She's so strong, Wayne.
The worst thing you could ever say is, I'm letting you win. Never say that.
Yeah, because then it gets worse, because then, like, it just pisses us off. Yeah.
No, I'm just sitting there like, no, seriously, let me up.
There's a little bit of fear in the laughter. There's a little bit of fear like she can
no, I'm trying to, do that laugh like you probably used to do with your siblings where you're like, no, okay, let's stop now.
His other one that he says is he goes, why are you so strong? Through gritted teeth.
It's amazing how strong you are. You're lucky I'm not really trying. All right, we got to get back to it. Say goodbye to Wayne.
But how is everyone quickly?
Everybody's good. Daniel's not here today.
We're great. Thanks, Flo.
You have a new puppy.
Yeah, Joelle, show her the puppy, please.
She's sleeping now.
Wake her ass up.
No, don't wake her up.
I can bring her down here. Hold on.
Don't wake her up.
Did you just say wake her ass up?
Yeah, she's a puppy. They need to be waking up.
Waking up?
Woken.
Oh, there's too many cords. I'll send you some pics, Flo, so you can see.
Right. No worries. I'm so happy that you've fostered a puppy, though. That's very exciting.
She adopted from the same place we did, the LaBelle Foundation. If you're in Los Angeles and you need a puppy, look at the LaBelle Foundation.
We should do a puppy play date.
Oh my God, yes, please. She needs
to
be socialized.
All right, babe, we got to get back to Wayne.
I'm sorry,
we're not
Wayne.
Giving Wayne any attention.
No, that's perfectly fine.
I get
fine.
To talk to new people. It's exciting.
I know. We're so stuck in quarantine, Wayne. It's just exciting for Florence to talk to a stranger.
I'm like, Wayne, you want to come around on Sunday?
So,
oh,
Florence,
wait,
this is a stranger.
Yeah.
Not inviting Wayne anytime. Over. He lives close enough to come over. Wayne, you're not invited over.
That's perfectly fine.
I'll look.
Okay. Bye.
He's literally pushing me out of the room now.
Bye.
Bye.
Later, guys.
Bye, Flo.
Bye. Lovely to see you.
Bye.
All right. You got both cameos today, audience. You got Casey Cobb and the Florence Pugh. All right, Wayne, it's time for Selma, California's favorite segment. It's time to
fix your life.
All right, sir. How can we fix your life today?
So this is kind of a question for Donald, and I know you probably get these all the time, and I've listened and heard you get these all the time, but
what's it like to have girth? Go ahead.
It's kids related. Okay. My wife and I are looking to start trying for kids soon, doing research and just like, I don't really know what to expect. So my question was, what are some things I should be aware of for the first year? And like, how do I strive to be a good father?
Oh, have you guys started having sex yet?
Yeah, of course. Yep.
Have you started having sex to have kids?
We are kind of starting that. I think her family might be listening to this. So I don't want to say yes. And
I think they know how the whole thing works out.
You guys are husband and wife, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. So look, here's the thing. The best part is about to happen right now, and that's making the baby. That's the best part.
That's as good as it ever gets.
This is the one time in your relationship where you are going to have let's make a baby sex. And it's the best because it's all the time. It might be 2-3 times a day. You don't know. Mm. You might get shocked because you gotta put a baby in her. Enjoy that moment.
Okay. Now, he's asking a sincere question, which is like, well, how do you prepare to be a good father when
there's
you don't
no
know anything
preparation
about
for being a good father? You just will be. It's in your DNA. DNA.
DNA. I never heard it called DNA.
Do you understand? It's up DNA. In you.
It's up
you
in your DNA.
In you. You know what I mean? You know how to you love your wife, right?
Absolutely.
When you look at your baby, you're gonna see your wife and yourself, and you can't help but love. It just happens, and you're not gonna be prepared, but you'll always come through.
One thing I know, Wayne, is that just from friends and family, is that you do have to be prepared that the baby's gonna just only want mom in the beginning, right, Donald?
Well, yeah, that's a possibility also. You're gonna have a lot of to do though. So,
but most of that supporting her. Like the baby doesn't give a fuck about him in the beginning.
The first year, you are the support. You are a part of the support group, and you are, and it's not by choice. The baby really doesn't want anything to do with you.
Don't take it personally. You're the sous chef.
You know what I mean? It just hasn't. You know what I mean? But then, there's a lot of work and it's a lot of fun. Don't get it. You know, we talk and we joke and we make it seem like it's a doomed thing. But that, I think we do that as parents too. It's the same way the characters on Scrubs talked about the hospital and dealt with death. We're like that. Parents are like that with their kids. You think you'll paint it as the worst picture ever, but really you're having a great time. So all of these people that are out there, you know, poo-pooing on the idea of having kids, or it seems like they're doing that, they're not. They're just, it's a shtick. You know what I mean? It's like that, you know, my wife and I have this thing that we do when we get around other couples where we fall into a shtick. That's what all parents do when they talk about their kids. It's a shtick that they're making up, saying how horrible their kids are when really they love their children 100%. They love their kids more than anything. So you don't have to worry about that. You will step up and you will be the father that you want to be. It's in you. You have it. The force is strong with you.
Thanks, Donald.
And time. I mean, that's the biggest thing, it seems to me, you can commit at is giving your time in the first year to your wife and being her support staff and partner. And then as they get older, Donald, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to me that the thing they want most is your attention and your time.
Yeah, that's a lot of that. And it's okay if you can't give it all the time also. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, sure. Not everybody has time for you, you know, so you don't have to have all the time in the world for your kids. But yeah, majority of your time is spent nurturing and teaching and, you know, enjoying. So experience it. And I promise you, where you think you are going to fail, you'll probably succeed at the highest levels. It's the things that are unexpected that catch you off guard.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for you. And please let us know how it goes.
And you're welcome.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Say one quick thing real quick.
You could say
yes,
whatever
you say
you
anything.
Want.
You can say anything you want, as long as it's not an analogy about being a Republican is like being in the Holocaust.
Oh, I cannot believe Gina said that. Oh, goodness. Well, the reason why I asked Joelle if I could be on this episode was because my cake actually has a very special place in my heart right now. I lost my father last year on March 2nd, and it was just before COVID. We managed to have a celebration of life before all the lockdowns happened and everything like that. And my wife, Nancy, absolutely amazing person. Her family, my family, everybody was amazing. But there's that period of time when my father passed that I was just like feeling in a funk. I didn't know how to react. Should I be really emotional? Sometimes I felt almost like blank. I don't know how to really describe. I just felt like I was zonked out. I wasn't 100% there. And then it hit me at certain points here and there. And my cake, I started watching Scrubs over again right when your podcast started coming out. Was rewatching it with everybody, and I would kind of just binge it through, and I would always get to My Cake, and My Cake is just such a beautiful episode with John Ritter not being here anymore, and Zach, your portrayal where all of a sudden everything hits you was just so, I could feel that moment in my life, and everybody being supportive and everything, and I didn't really know how to say it besides just, it was such a huge part of me being able to start laughing again. The podcast was doing everything to help me start laughing, smiling again. I'm not going to, say anything or not going to downplay how important my wife and her family and my family were for this, but you guys were also huge for it. I wouldn't say it's life changing. I would say it's more life healing for me. And I just want to thank you guys so much for this past year of wonderful podcasts, wonderful content. I love it when you guys go over an hour and a half because I can feel the warmth in your camaraderie and everything. And I just want to thank you guys so much because it's been so big for me. And
Wayne, thank you. Wayne, wow. Thank you.
That's very sweet of you.
Thank
Wayne.
You,
thank
Wayne.
You.
Thank you, Wayne. You make me feel good by saying things like that. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry we're a healing. I'm sorry that we're a healing mechanism, but I'm also happy that we can help you heal, man. This episode messes with me too, in a lot of ways. As a matter of fact, I even tried to get out of recording today after watching the episode.
That's why you were trying to get out of it?
Yeah, man. It just felt like I don't know, man. There are a lot of things that are going on in life right now, and a lot of people are losing loved ones, and a lot of it's coming unexpectedly, and people aren't given the chance to say goodbye. And, watching this episode, I've lost family members to COVID. I've lost, friends to COVID. And this one kind of, it affected me. It depressed me a little. And,
It's an interesting thing about this episode is that when else is an actor ever playing something that's fictional, but is real, in that John had just died that week. And, I think we're all like the stupor you mentioned, which anyone who's lost someone close to them can relate to. It's like you're not really ready for grief yet. You're just kind of like walking around in a cloud. And we then went into this episode about grief and losing someone with the chill still in our bones from holy shit, John died. So I think we were able to give it something special, and I'm really glad it resonated with you. I do feel, as we've talked about even before you came on the show, the episode itself is a bit scattered and odd in places because Bill literally had to scramble and rewrite the whole episode like on a Sunday night.
Yeah, and it showed like the B and C stories were really funny and everything like that, but the A story was where most of the emotion was. And it kind of, I mean, it felt a little bit jumbled, but at the same time, it's just, life is jumbled like that sometimes. So it just felt it didn't feel like it was rushed. It felt like it was really well written considering the circumstances, and life is chaos like that. So it resonated with me with that.
Well, I'm so happy that you have people around you. I'm so glad we could help, but also that you're so blessed to have a wife you love and a support system, because getting through these times, particularly death, I've had so much in my life of late, and not to circle it all back to Scrubs, but I guess that's why we're here. It really is about the people around you and not being able to do it all on your own. And if Donald and I and Joelle played even a microscopic part in you feeling better, we're very, very, very honored. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And you honor us, Wayne, as Daniel would say.
Since Daniel's not here, we'll say you honor us in his honor.
Yes.
No, you guys are amazing, and I look forward to more. And I'm just a huge fan. I'm so thankful for everything you guys do.
Well, thank you.
Watching WandaVision?
Oh my gosh, I haven't watched the recent episode. I'm gonna probably watch that a little bit later tonight when my wife comes home.
Enjoy it, man.
I can't wait.
We're gonna watch that new one too, because we binged
it
last night.
Have you guys watched Framing Britney?
Yes.
No, that's also on the list.
That is also on the list. I just saw some of the news that came out. There was like basically nothing happens unless you do a documentary for it.
I'm
gonna tell you something right now. You can see it. Just look at her eyes from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm gonna say. Just
all right. Mm-hmm. No spoilers. No spoilers. I don't want to know anything about it. All right. That's the show, Wayne. You can stay on. I think we've said everything, right, Donald?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I didn't understand is why are we wearing hockey jerseys watching a football game? I didn't understand that.
I didn't understand. That was very confusing. That I also want to shout out Tom Cavanaugh and the great pratfall he does in the bathroom, where you can only see his face and part of his body, and he literally looks like he squeezes in between camera and a wall to make that pratfall work.
Yeah.
So shout out Tom Cavanaugh on a great pratfall.
Tom, nice fall. So I think that the hockey team, Johnny was friends with one of the hockey players.
He likes the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, I think he really likes the Detroit Red Wings because he was friends. Johnny had like hockey player friends. I think one of his friends was on the team. Bill would tell us who it is, but I don't know who it is. And I'm assuming we watching college football because that's all they could license, I'm assuming.
That shit looked like freaking flag football. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. That didn't look like a professional sport.
Maybe we couldn't even license college football. But I just didn't – it was a bit incongruous, if you will. How do you say that, Wayne? Wayne, you're smart. Incongruous or incongruous?
Incongruous, I think.
Thank you.
I'm gonna say one last thing. I think Turk should have been there at the end. I think
yes, Donald didn't like that Turk wasn't there, and I agree. Wayne, before you came on, I said, "Why do you think he wasn't there?" And he said, "Because he has diabetes." I don't. We made a strict rule. The only thing I asked for my friend hangout to help me with my grief is no one with diabetes 2 in the room. all right, everybody, we'll be back on Thursday with a new show. Don't forget to watch White Knights. Watch, what did you want them to watch? Running Scared.
And also suggestions, live show coming soon.
So we're going to do a live show. Please slide into our comment section because that's the only thing Donald and I occasionally read while we're having a number two. And we need to know what you want in the live show.
Not only will we do it live, you'll be able to see us too. That's what live show means though, right? Is that what live show means when you say live show?
Yes, dude. We're going to do a video live show. We'll do it live.
Okay, we'll do it live.
We're going to do it live. We're going to do it live, you guys. You're going to get to see us. Donald's going to put on a suit.
I'm going to wear a suit.
I'm going to probably wear the onesie from that we sold.
Oh, I might do that.
Yeah, matching onesies.
Matching onesies sounds good.
And listen, if you still haven't gotten a Valentine's Day present, at this point it's belated. But if you need to get your partner or your friend a belated Valentine's Day present, don't forget that we have badge pulls. Go to cottonbureau.com and then search for fake doctors, real friends. Anything else, Donald?
No. Wayne, you want to count us out?
Yeah, Wayne, count us
out. Oh my gosh, you honor me.
Yes, go for it.
Oh, don't forget to follow Donald on Instagram.
Yes,
hey. Wayne. Tell him, Wayne.
Yes,
tell him,
Wayne. And listen, the song I want you to listen to is Separate Lives by Phil Collins. All right? I never ask you guys for anything. I would be playing it here if iHeart allowed us to. We can't.
All right, Wayne, count us out.
All right. 5, 6, 7, 8. Some stories about show we made.